In this year, we're going to begin Torah Chof in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 63, the right-hand column, about a third of the way down the page. This chapter on Likutei Moran, as the chapter before it and the one after it, is based on a paragraph from the Safra Ditznusa, which means the hidden sefer. This is one of the sections in the Zohar HaKadosh, which is very deep and deals with topics related to the secrets of Kabbalah. Rabbeinu Zal is going to take this paragraph from the Zohar HaKadosh and present it to us in a way of Musar, in a way that we could learn very practical advice in serving Hashem on our level. Before we begin this chapter on Likutei Moran, first of all, this chapter, as many of the other chapters, but yet in a way very unique, is going to be a world, literally a world of information and a world of knowledge about Yiddishkeit that's going to span tremendous topics and items of the utmost importance. For example, if a Jew were to say, what's the most perplexing, difficult question in the entire Torah? Most likely, one of the best answers to it is the question as to how it was possible for Moshe Rabbeinu to do something that wasn't in perfect conformity with Hashem's instructions. The case that the Torah gives us where Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu instructions to speak to the rock in order to bring forth water from it. And the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu struck the rock, and as a result of that, he was punished. Both he and Aaron HaKohen were punished that they were not zeicher to get to Eretz Yisrael, which would seem to be the climax of the success of a Jew, bechlal, in life, and especially these tzaddikim, where a major part of their life was spent in taking Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and the whole purpose of leaving Mitzrayim was to be zeicher to get to Eretz Yisrael. That was the most important tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim. How is it conceivable that they didn't finish, seemingly? This question is going to be addressed very clearly and very elaborately in this chapter on Likutei Moran, in a way where we're going to understand advice for us as to how to deal with similar situations. Before we begin the Torah, in the Sefer Chaim Moharan, in the section that's entitled Sipurim Chadoshim, there is a major chapter that serves as an introduction to this Torah Likutei Moran. And it's very important that we learn this chapter, as you'll see when we cover it. Rav Nosson Zal writes that this shiur in Likutei Moran, Torah Chof, was given on Rosh Hashanah of the year Tov Kuf Samach Hei, which means when Rabbeinu Zal was 32 years old, 6 years before he passed away. This shiur was given on that Rosh Hashanah, and prior to that, that summer, Rabbeinu Zal once told his Talmidim an exceptional story. Rav Nosson Zal writes, Ono v'yomar, Rabbeinu Zal spoke up and said, Asaper lochem ma sheroisi, I'm going to tell you a vision that I saw, v'tesapru libneichem, and you'll tell it over to your children. And the vision is as follows. Echod hoyashoychev al horetz, a person was sitting, reclining on the ground. Usvivo yehoyu yoshvim eagle, around that person was a circle of people. He was in the center and there was a circle of people around him. Visoviv hoigul oid eagle, and around that circle was another circle. Visoviv hoigul oid eagle, and another circle. Vechein oid kamo igulim, concentric circles of people sitting or reclining around this person. Usvivam hoyu yoshvim oid kamo anoshim bali seder, and around this whole set of circles, there were other groups of people that were sitting without any particular order. They weren't part of these circles. Va'oisoi shohoyo yoshev b'yemtza, and the one who was sitting in the middle, kloimar shohoyo yoshev muta al tzidoi, he was actually reclining. Hoyo oise b'sfosov,
he was moving his lips. V'kulam svivo yihoyu oisim b'svesem achrod. And all the people in the circles around him, while he was moving his lips, they were moving their lips along with him. V'acharkach ro'isi v'hinei einenu. And Rabbeinu Zal was a spectator watching this whole vision. And then he said, I took a look, and suddenly that person in the middle wasn't there anymore. V'kulam hayoshvim svivoi hifsiku lasais b'sifsoseim. And all the people that were sitting in the circles around him stopped moving their lips. V'shalti maze, I asked, what is this? Heishivuli, they told me, sheniskarer, that this person in the middle suddenly became cold, v'nigva, uposak miladaber, and he terminated, and he stopped talking. V'hivsiku miladaber, and therefore all the others that were around him also stopped talking. V'acharkach hischilu kulam larutz, and then all the people suddenly started running. V'ratzti achreim, Rabbeinu Zal says, I ran after them. V'ro'isi shnei palatzen, and I saw two palaces. Hainu binyonim noim yofim ma'oi, two beautiful palatial buildings. V'shom hayu yoshvim shnei sroros, and there were two princes sitting in these two beautiful buildings. V'heim rotzu l'shom lahasroros, and all these people ran there to these two princes. V'eschilu litoini mohem, and they started arguing with them and yelling at them. Lama his isem oisonu, why did you mislead us? Why did you mislead us? Verotzu lohergam, and they wanted to kill these two princes. Uborchu asroris lechutz, these two sroris princes ran outside of these palaces. Veroisim, and Rabbeinu Zal says, I saw them. Vehutav be'enai ma'oid mohus shelohem, and I was extremely impressed by them. They looked something very special. Veratzti achreim, and I ran after them. V'ro'isi me'rochoik oihel yofe, and I saw in the distance a beautiful tent. V'tzo'aku misham lahasrorois, and a voice came forth from this tent screaming to these princes, Chazru lachareihem, go back, return to your place. U'bikashtem kol haschuyos she'esh lochem, and seek out all of your zechusim, all of your merits, all the good things that you've done in your entire life. Unetaltem b'yedchem, take them in your hands. V'telchu lahaner hatolui shom, and go to the place where there is a candle suspended in the air. V'shom tifalu kol ma shetirtzu, and there you'll be able to accomplish whatever you want. V'chosru lachoyrehem, these two princes ran back. V'kiblu haschuyos shelahem, they gathered up all of their zechuyos, all of their zechusim. V'hoyasham chavilois zechuyos, and there were bundles of good things that they had done throughout their lifetime. V'rotzu lahaner, they ran to that candle. V'ratzti achreim, Rabbeinu Zal says, I followed them, I ran after them. V'ro'isi ner tolui bo'avir, and I saw a burning candle in midair, suspended in midair. Uba'u hasrorois, and these princes came, v'hishlichu hazchuyos el haner, they threw these bundles of zechusim of theirs to the candle, v'noflu mehaner nitzutzos letoich pihem, and from this burning candle shot out sparks that went into the mouths of these two princes. V'hechzir atzmoy haner, and then suddenly this candle changed. V'nase mehaner nohor. This candle, ner, turned into a nohor, into a river, a flowing river. V'shosu kulam mehanohor. And all the people that were gathered there drank from this river. V'nasu briois bikirbom. And suddenly there were creations, little creations that were inside them. When they were drinking this water, it caused little items to be created inside of them. And when the people started talking, yotzu mehem habriyos, there came forth from them these creations that had been created as a result of drinking the water of this river. V'ro'isim rotzim v'shovim, and I saw these briyos running back and forth. V'eino min odom, they weren't humans. V'loy min chayo, they weren't animals. Rak briyos, they appear to be some kind of a creation, like an angel, something like that. V'yahakach hisyatzu lachzor l'mekoimom. Afterwards, they decided to go back to their original place, these princes. V'omru, and they said, Eich nucha lachzor l'mekoimenu. How can we go back to our original place? Ono echod, so one of them spoke up and said, Nishlach loho echod ho'emed shom, v'oicheiz cherev mishamayim lo'oretz. Let's send for that special person that's standing there with a sword that extends from heaven to earth. Let's send for him. The Omru, and they said, Esmi Nishlach, who should we send? This Yoatsu, Lishloach Lahabrios. And they decided to send these little creations. Let them go to this person with this huge sword. V'holchu Abrios Lishom, these creations went over there. V'ratzti Achrehem. And Rabbein Azal said, I ran after them. Again, we're continuing this vision that Rabbein Azal saw. V'ro'isi oisoi me'uyom oimeit mishamayim lo'oretz. I saw this awesome person who stood tall from heaven to earth. V'charboi biyodoi mishamayim lo'oretz. And he was holding a huge sword that was extended from heaven to earth. V'lo kamo piyos. And this sword didn't just have one blade, it had multiple blades. Hainu pe echod, hainu chud, shekoren sharf lemisa, one blade that could kill, upe echod alanius, and one blade that could cause poverty, upe echod al chulshois, and one blade that could cause sickness or weakness, v'chein kama piois al sharoinshim, and other blades that could cause other forms of suffering. V'schilu levakesh, and these briyos started asking this person standing with this huge sword, Shezez man rav hoyolonu yisurim imcha. It's been a very long time that we've been suffering because of you. Ato heyelonu la'ezer v'hove yosanu el mekoimenu. How about helping us out now and bring us to our place? V'omar, and this person said, Eini yochoy lazer eschem. I can't help you. Ubikshu, so they asked him, Ten lonu hapeh shel miso v'naha roigoysam. Then at least give us the blade that kills, and we'll be able to kill our opposition, those that are blocking us from getting to our place. V'loy rotza, and this person didn't want. Ubikshu peh acher, they asked for another blade. V'loy rotza liten lohem shum peh. And this person wouldn't give them any of the blades of this sword that he was holding. V'chazru, so they left. They went back. B'soich kach bo pekudo laharoig es hasroros. While this was going on, suddenly an order was given to kill these princes. V'heisiru es roshon, and their heads were removed. They were decapitated. B'soich kach chozer hamaisa kishohoyo. Then suddenly this vision began again, a second time. Again, Rabbi Nizal says, I saw one person lying on the ground, reclining on the ground, usvivoi igulim, with these circles all around him, v'rotzu lahasrorois, and they ran after the princes, hakoil kanal, the whole story, as we told it before, repeated itself, rak ato roisi shahasrorois loy hishlichu haschuyos el aner. Only this time I saw that these princes did not throw these packages of zechuyos at the candle, rak lokhu hazechuyos v'holchu lahaner, but rather they took these bundles of zechusim of theirs, and they went over to this candle, v'shavru eslipon, and they broke their hearts. They poured out their broken hearts before this candle, v'schilu levakish b'tachnunim lefnei haner, and they started begging in front of this candle, begging for help. V'naflu nitzutzos me'aner l'toch pihem, and again sparks shot out from this candle and went into their mouth. U'bikshu b'tachnunim oid, and then they continued to plead. V'nasa me'aner nohor, and this candle turned into a river again. V'nasu habriyos kanal, they drank from the river, and then these little creations, these little angels, were created inside of them. V'omruli, and Rabbein Azal says, they said to me, she'elu yichyu, that these princes are going to live. Ki horishonim nischaivu harigo al shehishlichu hazchuyos lahaner, because the first princes deserved a death penalty because they threw their zechusim at this candle. V'lo bikshu b'tachnunim kamoy elu, and they didn't plead like this second set of sroros did. V'lo yodati mazeh, and Rabbein Azal said, I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't understand this vision whatsoever. I couldn't make any sense out of it. V'omruli, so they said to me, lech el acheder azeh, v'yomru lecha pirush al zeh. Go to this room, and there they'll explain this vision that you saw. V'olachti l'shom, I went to the room, v'hoya yoshev shom zokein echod, and I saw a very old man sitting in the room, u'sha'altiv al zeh, and I asked him about this vision, this extraordinary vision that I saw. V'tofas zekenoi biyodoi, and he held his beard in his hand, v'omarli, and he said to me, Hare zekeni hi pirush al hamaisa. My beard is an explanation to this vision that you saw. V'sha'altiv, Rabbein Azal says, I asked him, Eini yodea adayin. I still don't understand what's going on. V'omarli, so this man said to me, this zokein said to me, zokein means an old man, and zokein also means the beard. This man said to me, Lech el hacheder azeh v'shom timtza perush. Go into this other room, and you'll have an explanation for your question. V'olachti l'shom, I went there, v'ro'isi hacheder oroich v'roichov ad ein keitz. And I saw a room that was so large, so long and wide, I couldn't see the end of it. V'kuloi molei ksovim. And this room was like one huge, tremendous library, loaded with books. U'bechol mokoim sheposachti ro'isi pirush alamaisa. And every single page that I opened of every single book in that room was an explanation to this vision. Kol ze shomati mi piv hakodosh pe el pe. Rav Nosson Zal says, this entire vision I heard from Rabbein Azal. He told it to me face to face. The Omar, and Rabbein Azal said to me, shekol hatoyrois shehu oimer, yesh bohem ramozim mehamais hazois. That every single shir that Rabbein Azal ever gave has in it ramozim, hints to explain this vision. Vahatoyra hamascheles tes tikunim belikutei amaran chelek alef simen chof hu kuloi pirush alzois hamaisa. And chapter 20 in Likutei Moran, which we're about to begin, the entire chapter is an explanation of this vision that Rabbein Azal saw. V'hamaskil, and one who is truly intelligent, yovin shom kamo remozim nifloim mizois hamaisa, will be able to understand some of the hints to explain this vision. Ayin shom ashekosav, take a look over there and you'll see what Rabbein Azal writes. Now we'll begin this chapter on Likutei Moran, and this is going to take possibly about a month, at least four shiurim or so to learn. And this chapter, again, we said, answers some of the most difficult mysteries in Yiddishkeit about tzaddikim, about Jews, about Eretz Yisrael, about everything, literally about everything. Rav Nosson Zal begins, Loshoin Rabbein Azal, that this chapter on Likutei Moran was copied verbatim from Rabbein Azal's notes. It begins with a chapter from the Zohar HaKodesh, which explains the secrets of the beard according to Kabbalah. And this is just listed here as a chapter. At the end of this whole shir, at the end of this chapter on Likutei Moran, Rabbi Nizal is going to dissect that paragraph in the Zohar Kodesh and explain every line as to what it represents in Musar and how it ties into this Torah on Likutei Moran. Tes tikunin yakirin ismasro ledikna. 10 very holy tikunim are found in the beard. Kol ma de istamer v'lo izgalya. All that are hidden and not revealed. Ilo v'yikoro ishtakach. Very holy and precious items are found. V'hu ginzio yakira. And this is a very precious treasury. Nimin al nimin mikami pischa du'udnin ad reisha depuma. Hairs on top of hairs, extending from the opening of the ears until the opening of the mouth. Me reisha hai la reisha achra. From one side of the head to the other side of the head. Ishtekach mitchois trei nukvin. They are found under the two nostrils. Orcho malio dolo yischazio. A long path, a full path that's not visible. Ilin ischafyan mehaigiso mehaigiso. The cheeks are covered from both sides. Behu ischazien tapuchin sumkin kivardo. And in the cheeks is found a section that's red like roses. The red rosiness of the cheeks. Bechad chuto talyan uchmen takifen ad chedvoy. On one thread or length of hair is attached black hairs until the throat area. Sivavon sumki kevardo ispanun. Lips that are red like roses open up. Zeirin nachsin begroina. Small hairs extend downward in the throat. Umechafion kadla. And they cover up the Adam's apple. Ravravin uzeirin. Large ones and small ones. Nachsin beshikula. Are found throughout the beard in a balance, in a proper balance. Beilein ishtekach gibar vetakif. In this is found strength and power. This is the words of the Zohar Kodesh, and obviously they're not to be taken literally. We're going to see Rabbi Nizal's explanation for this later on when we come to the end of this Torah. Now Rabbi Nizal begins his explanation. Da, you should know, sheyesh neshama ba'olam. There is a certain neshama in the world, a certain soul, she'al yodo nizgale bi'urei upirushi ha-Torah, whereby through this neshama is revealed the explanations of Torah. Just as the Gemara says very clearly that when it came to prophecy, nevuah, no Navi other than Moshe Rabbeinu received his nevuah from Hashem. All the other Nevi'im that received prophecy received it via Moshe Rabbeinu. Here Rabbi Nizal says that there is a certain special neshama from which come forth all the biurei and pirushei Torah for the world. Vehi misubeles biyisurin. And this neshama is surrounded and engulfed in suffering. Pas bamelach toichal umayim bamesura tishta. It's forced to experience poverty, to eat bread with salt, no luxurious foods, and to drink water, minimal amount of water. Kikach darko shel Torah, because the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, if a person wants to achieve true success in Torah, the person has to be prepared to give up luxury, to give up pleasure, to be willing to deal with histapkus, minimal physical pleasure. V'kol mefarshei ha-Torah hein mekablim mizois ha-neshama. And all those who are privileged to explain the Torah receive from that neshama. V'zois ha-neshama kol dvoreho kigachalei esh. And this neshama, all of its words come forth like fiery coals. Ki yefsher lekabel v'lishoiv meimei ha-Torah elo mi shedvorov kigachalei esh. Because it's impossible for a person to receive and draw the waters of Torah unless the person has this ability whereby his words are like fire. There is this concept of mixing fire. The Pasuk says, Mishomayim Hishmato, that when Hashem gave the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, He gave it to them from Shomayim. What is Shomayim? Shomayim is a combination of Eish and Mayim. The Torah represents this combination of fire and water together. Bebechinas haloi koidvorai koesh. As the Pasuk says, Hashem says, my words are like fire. So we see that there is a concept of Divrei Torah being like Eish. Rabbi Nezal says here that this neshama, which is the mokar of all the biurei Torah, this neshama must have this ability that its diburim, its words, should be like fiery hot coals. Ukishan neshama hazois noifeles mibechinas haloi koidvorai koesh. And when this neshama falls from this madrega, from this level of being zoichet to speak words that are like hot coals, ve'ein dvoreho kegachleyesh, and its words are no longer like hot coals, dvoreho nitzdanenin, and its words become cooled off, or udvoreho nitzdanen, and its words become cooled off, azai nistalekes, then this neshama leaves, it passes away. Ukishin nistalekes, it goes up. Ukishin nistalekes, and when this neshama goes up, Azai nistalek biurei haTorah hanimsheches al yodo. Automatically, all the biurei haTorah that were present in the world, in the zuchus of this neshama, coming via this neshama, all of those biurei haTorah also leave. Va'azai kol mefarshi haTorah ein yecholen lahasik shum biurei haTorah. And then all those people who are usually mefarish the Torah, who usually lecture on and explain the Torah, they are no longer able to come forth with any explanations of Torah because this neshama has left. The oz nisoirer merivo ala tzadikim. And this results in machlekes against the tzadikim. Ki ikra hamachlekes shebo ilam nase al yidei histalkus biuri haTorah. Because Rabbi Nezal says, the main cause of machlokes in the world is because of the fact that the biurei haTorah have left. The explanations of Torah are gone, they're hidden, they're not available, and that causes machlokes. Why? Because what is the Torah called? Derocheho darchei noyam, v'chol nesivoiseho sholoim. The paths of the Torah are sholoim. If there's a histalkus of Torah, it means there's a histalkus of sholem. It means that there's room for machlekes. Ki habiur hu tirutz al kushyos marivos, because the explanations of Torah are a solution for the machlekes and the problems of the world. All the conflict in the world, the biurei haTorah are a solution for it. We'll see as we continue in this Torah, Rabbi Nezal is going to show that it's both. That during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was a person who represented this, which was Miriam Hanaviah, as we'll see soon. But at the same time, Rabbi Nezal is talking about every generation and related to the tzaddik. We'll see as we continue. Rabbi Nezal says, "Vezeh bechinas midbar tzin." This is one of the concepts that's mentioned in the Torah. One of the places that the Yidden visited was called Midbar Tzin. Rabbi Nezal says, Shehu bechinas dibur mitzoinon. Midbar is miloshen dibur, to speak. Tzin is miloshen tzino, cold. The dibur becomes cold. Because we know there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Cham libi bekirbi, behagigi tivar esh, dibarti b'lashoini. That usually, in order for a Jew to speak, a Jew's speech is a mixture of fire and water. When a person's throat becomes very dry, they can't speak. You need saliva, you need wetness in order to be able to speak. And at the same time, in order for a person to really speak, where his words will be effective, the person has to have fire. hislavus. This cham libi bekirbi, bahagigi tivar esh, dibarti b'lishoini. When there's esh, it's called dibur. That's the shechina, which is represented by esh oichla. Shechina medaberes mitoich groinoi means this concept of dibur behislavus, where a person's really a fiery aura. You know, he's speaking with fire. So Rabbi Nazal says this concept of midbar tzin represents the case of the dibur becoming cooled off. Sheshom Meso Miriam. The Torah tells us that this place called Midbar Tzin is where Miriam Hanaviya passed away. What does Miriam represent? Bechinas Haneshomo Hasoiveles Merirus Hashibur Ala Torah. Miriam represents this neshama who must experience bitterness, suffering, because of Torah. Miriam is Miloshin Mar, Merirus, bitterness. Va'oz nistalek habe'er. And the Torah tells us that when Miriam passed away, the special well of water, the miracle well that traveled with Bnei Yisrael in the desert, that well left them also. A well is called a be'er. Rabbi Nazal says, Hainu bechinas bi'urei ha'Torah. This represents the explanations of Torah that also leave when this neshama leaves. What causes the neshama to leave? When its dibur becomes cooled off. Immediately afterwards, there was machlokes against Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. As soon as Miriam and Aviah passed away and there was no water to drink, suddenly machlokes broke out. Hainu bechinas hamarivo shenesoirer kanal. This represents this battle that we spoke about, this machlokes that's aroused when the bi'urei ha'Torah are not available, when clear explanations of the derech ha'Torah are not available. The Torah has in it this kosher, posel, tomei, toher, osur, mutter, this mishkebabel, this confusion. And when this confusion isn't sorted out, there's machlokes. When the bi'urei ha'Torah are not available, are not clear, there's machlokes, mariva. And the Biurei HaTorah come about through this special neshama, which accepts upon itself this merirus. It's prepared to be soivel yisurim in order to be zecha to bring forth Biurei HaTorah into the world. Ve'elu mefarshe HaTorah nikroim bishvil ze moirim. And this is one of the reasons why those people that explain the Torah to students are called a moreh, or moirim, plural. Machmas shemekablim alidei haneshomo hanal, because they receive from Miriam. They receive from this neshama that's soiveles merirus. Hamechuna b'shem Miriam, which has this nickname Miriam, gam heim moirim es moirehem. And we know also that they teach their teachers. The students teach their teachers. Kemaimar umitalmidai yoiser mikulam. As the Gemara says, that from a person's students, he learns more than from anybody else. So the word moreh, moirim, means teachers. And these teachers teach students. And these students are also teaching their teachers. Vezeh shomar lohem Moshe shimu no ha-moirim. And this is why Moshe Rabbeinu said to his students, listen here, you rebels. He called the students Morim. Morim means a teacher, because even a student sometimes is called a Morim, because he's also plugged into this neshama Miriam, which is the source of all the Biurei HaTorah.
In this sense, Renazal's interpreting it not as a knock to them, not as Moshe Rabbeinu said, a knock to his students.
He's saying that another translation, the word Morim means rebels. The word moirim also means teachers or students.
Is it strange that the neshama in this case would be picked as a means of neshama? Miriam and Maria is saying that from our came forth, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, also from her.
Yes. Isn't it strange that it's a woman, Bedavko, whose neshama it's coming from? The answer is the Shekhinah itself is always represented feminine. The Zohar HaKadosh says that during the time of Avraham Avinu, the Shekhinah was called Sarah. During the time of Yitzchak Avinu, the Shekhinah was called Rivka. During the time of Yaakov Avinu, the Shekhinah was called Rachel and Leah. Generally, when we talk about the Shekhinah, this concept of this heart, this Lev Ho'elyon, it's referred to in a feminine sense. Now, it's important that you reminded me of something.
When Rebbe Zal gave the shir on this chapter on Likutei Moran, he gave a very serious introduction. The Zohar HaKadosh, when it begins to discuss the Idra Kadisha, where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal discusses the heavenly image, where in the Zohar HaKadosh it speaks about concepts related to Hashem, and it compares them to physical parts of the body. Kaviyochel, the right hand, the left hand, kaviyochel, these things. The Zohar HaKadosh says that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal's opening words in that shir were, Oror asher yaseh kol pesel, that cursed is the Jew who makes an image of Hashem. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, he warned his Talmidim that when we discuss these items, these concepts of tying Hashem kaviyochel to a human image, or to male or female or anything like that, chas v'shalom, it's one of the worst crimes possible to think that that's literal in any way, chas v'shalom. To think that there's anything physical about Hashem, chas v'shalom, in any way. It's nothing like that. It's only this terminology is being used kedei l'shaver esloizen, for us to be able to understand, for us to have a way of conversing about Hashem in terms that we could relate to. But not chas v'shalom, that it means literally the right or left, or male, female, chas v'shalom, anything like that. Number one, we see the tzaras that she went through. That's one example of it. And number two, the fact that her name is Miriam, that fact alone, the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir Daik Bishmo, if her name was Miriam, we know that she was Soivel Marirus. And I'm sure if you look in the Midrashim, you'll see connections to this. When Rabbeinu Zal makes a statement to this, you know that it's there. If you look, you'll find it. One interesting item, just while we're on the topic, is a small tangent. The Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh says that just like in order for a husband and wife to bring children into the world, you need, and we're talking about a delicate item, we assume everybody is mature enough to understand the seriousness of this item, that just as in order to bring children into the world, you need an Ever Chai, it requires warmth, fire, hislavus, so too the Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh says, if a person wants a mitzvah that they do, or a tefillah that they say, to be moiled, the tefillah or the mitzvah must also be hot. It also has to have this fire, this passion in it, in order for it to be moiled. If a person wants their tefillah to be effective, it has to be with this hislavus, as we're going to see later in this chapter, because there are klipos that want to surround every mitzvah that a person does, every tefillah that a person sends up, there are forces of tumah that try to surround it and pull it down. How does a person do battle against those forces of tumah? The answer is with fire. There's a pasuk which we say on Friday night in the davening, which Rabbeinu Zal quotes in Sefer Amidos. Eish lefonov telech usalahit soviv tzorov. That when a person draws fire into their face, they're able to burn away all the enemies that are surrounding them. It's the hislavus with which a person learns, or a person davens, or a person does a mitzvah, that hislavus is what gives that mitzvah its punch, its effectiveness, its power to be moiled. This concept of an ever mace is not moiled, an ever chai is moiled. A mitzvah, if it's chai, it can be moiled. That's not to say, chas v'cholila, that when a person isn't feeling hislavus, they shouldn't do a mitzvah, but it means that a person has to strive for that. A person has to see to it that the mitzvah should be alive. Now Rabbeinu Zal continues, Umi sheroitza lahamshich b'yurei ha-toiro, tzorech mitchilo lahamshich li'atzmoi diburim chamim kigach alayesh. A person who wants to draw upon themselves b'yurei toiro, who wants to receive explanations of Torah from Hashem, has to first draw upon themselves words that are warm like hot coals. V'hadibur nimshach milev ho'elyon. And this dibur comes from the heavenly heart. Bechinas, as the pasuk says,
Tzur Levavi. Kaviyochel, the Shechina, is compared to this heavenly heart. Tzur means powerful. And from this heart comes forth Dibur. We have this concept of Shifchi Kamayim Libech Noichach Pnei Hashem. We know that Dibur, we talk about a person talking from the heart. There is this concept of a Dibur that originates from the mouth versus a Dibur that originates from the heart. Rabbi Nizal says a person who wants to draw Diburim of Biurei HaTorah, this Dibur must originate from the Lev HaElyon. V'tzorech Lishpoich Sichoi B'Tfilo Lefnei Hashem Yisborach. And the person has to first pour out his heart in Tfilot Hashem. Vaidei Tfilosoi Nichmaru Rachmei Hashem Yisborach Olav. And through the Tfilah, the person arouses Hashem's pity on him. The Niftach Lev HaElyon. And the heavenly heart is opened up, ki ikar horachamim hu balev, because the main source of pity is in the heart. Person has to have a heart in order to have pity on others. V'nishba melev ho elyon diburim, and then there comes forth from this heavenly heart, there comes forth words. Vayidei hadibur mamshich biurei haTorah gam kemishon, and when this person receives these words from the Lev HaElyon, he also receives the Biurei HaTorah. We know, for example, the Arizal says, when a person davens Shemoneh Esrei, and the opening words in the Shemoneh Esrei are, Hashem sefosai tiftoch, ufi yageti lo secho. Hashem, open up my lips, and let my mouth speak your praises. What we're actually asking Hashem for there is, Hashem, put the words in my mouth. Give me the words to speak to you. I should be zoicha to a bechina of shechina medaberes mitoich groinoi. That kaviyochel, it shouldn't be me speaking, but rather it should be kaviyochel, the words of Hashem coming forth from me. Rabbi Nizal says, v'leiv hanal, and this heavenly heart, to bechinas sela, is a concept of a stone, a rock. Shemishom hadibur, from this rock comes forth dibur, speech. Bebechinas, as the Gemara says, mili besela. Over there, the Gemara is talking about something which al pi pshat means something different. The Gemara says, mili besela mashtuki betrain. That if you want to know how good silence is, if words are worth a sela means a certain unit of money, then silence is worth twice that amount, double that. But Rabbi Nizal says the word sela also means a rock. Mili besela means words from a rock. Words coming from a rock. The dibur coming from this heavenly heart, which is called a concept of a rock. Tzur levavi, the words, as Rabbi Nizal says now, v'sela hu bechinas tzur. Sela also means a stone, a rock. We know that by a heart, there's a concept of a lev ho'evin, a stone heart, versus a lev bosor, a soft heart, a heart of flesh. Bebechinas posach tzur vayazuvu moyim, as the posach says, the rock opened up and gave forth waters. Vahu bechinas lev, bechinas tzur levavi. This rock is a concept of a heart, this tzur levavi. Tzur means rock, and levavi means the heart. V'halev nichmar berachamim, and this heavenly heart becomes softened with pity. U'mashpia diburim chamim, and it gives forth warm words. Bebechinas cham libi bekirbi, my heart has warmth inside of it. Bahagigi tivareish, inside of it there burns a fire. Dibarti belishoni, which comes forth in the words that are on my tongue. Ubalev hazek suvim kol biurei haTorah, and on this lev ho'elyoin are written all the biurei haTorah. When Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, what did he present it to them on? On luchos. Luchos means tablets. We also find the word luchos in the Torah associated with the heart. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, Kosvom aluach libecho. Inscribe the words of Torah on the tablets of your heart. So that when Moshe Rabbeinu brought forth the luchos to Bnei Israel, those luchos kaviyochel came from the heart of... The luchos were written on stone. That stone was this tzur levavi. Kaviyochel, that's the concept of the heart of Hashem, which contains inside of it these diburim chamim and also these biurei Torah. And a person, an individual, who wants to receive biurei Torah from this heart, he must get it from that heart. And he must get it through tefillah and bakosha, by pleading to be zecha to receive these biurei Torah. ובשביל זה צורך כל אחד ממפרשי התורה קודם שמסך לבייר איזה ביור צורך לו מתחילו לשפוך תפילוסי לפני השם יסבורך. And it's for this reason that any person who wants to give a lecture in Torah, he wants to be mafarish the Torah, the person has to first be mispalel Tashem, pour forth his heart in tefillah Tashem, kedei l'oirer lev ho'elyoin, in order to arouse Kaviyochel, the heart of Hashem, lehashpi'al of diburim kegach le'esh, to give him words, warm words, words that have this fiery coals in them, v'ahakach yaschil avayar. And then and only then is he able to explain the words of the Torah. Ki ahakach niftach atzur v'yosuvu meimov, because then the rock opens up and gives forth its water, hainu biurei Torah, which is the symbol of these explanations of Torah. We know that the Gemara says, Ein mayim ela Torah, that water represents Torah. These biurei haTorah represents the waters that flow forth from this rock, this heavenly heart, after it's spoken to, after the person pleads with this heart to draw forth from the heart these diburim chamim kigach le'esh, and then together with those diburim chamim kigach le'esh, together with that comes biurei Torah.
Where does a person get Torah? A person who gives a shir, who, let's say, doesn't know this concept or doesn't daven at all before, let's say, specifically before giving the shir. Is the tefillah that he said automatically bring it down?
The answer is, it seems, in the way Rabbeinu Zal is explaining it here, that there are tzaddikim in every generation who are mefarshei Torah. They do this. Anybody else that receives Torah is receiving it via them. If a person is zoicha to do this on his own, then he's more involved in the process. If not, according to how well the person is plugged into tzaddikim, those tzaddikim affect all of these tikkunim.
Is this true also if a person just wants to learn?
That's the next paragraph. The next question, is this only related to a public shir, or does this apply to a person learning privately? Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'yesh chiluk bein biur she'odam avayar beinoy levein atzmoy, levein biur she'odam avayar l'rabim." There's a major difference between explanations of Torah that are being presented to a tzibur, to a group of people, versus explanations of Torah that a person's learning privately on their own. Ki kishedoy reish borabim, because when a person is speaking publicly, v'koydem habiur, and before the person speaks to the people, before the person addresses the people, he first attaches himself to their neshamos, and he pours out his heart in tefillah to Hashem first, after having attached himself to those neshamos. The Pasuk says, Hashem will never reject a tefilas rabim, a tefillah that's coming up as a package, that's coming from a combination of a group of people. That tefillah is always effective. Avol tefilas yochid, efsher shem moyasin betfilosoi. Whereas the tefillah of a private individual, it's possible sometimes for that tefillah to be rejected. This is why Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu and Moshe Rabbeinu, speak to the rock in front of the Yidden. Make sure that they're standing there at the time. Make sure that they're present. Shetfilosho tihye bisho shehatzibur mikubotzim. Your tefillah should be at the time that everybody is assembled together. V'zeh hakel esom. And therefore Hashem gave instructions there, saying to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, gather all the people together. I want them to witness this whole incident with the rock. And you're going to see that throughout this chapter, throughout this Torah and the Kutimran, Rabbeinu Zal is going to be filling in pieces of the jigsaw puzzle of that whole story with Moshe Rabbeinu, with the rock, with Edoim afterwards asking permission to come to Eretz Yisrael. All kinds of details of that story are going to be filled in the rest of this chapter on the Likutei Moran. Halavai, we should be zeicher. Those that weren't here for the beginning of the shiur is on tape. There was a very critical introduction to this chapter on the Likutei Moran that was given in the beginning. Everybody should try, in order to understand this chapter, it would be very good if we could hear that. And I said that this Torah is going to take at least a few weeks to cover, and it's going to have in it some of the most important yesodos of Yiddishkeit, of Emunah Tzadikim, and knowing what problems the biggest of Tzadikim, when the biggest Tzadik makes a mistake, in what is the mistake, in what area, and to know that if the biggest of Tzadikim can make mistakes in this specific item, then we certainly have to be very aware of it. And that's one of the items that's going to be covered in tremendous detail in this Torah in the Likutei Moran. Baruch Hashem.